In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Very Reverend Father, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. Well, today we hear a lot about faith. We hear about it in the gospel verse that we read, and it's actually even more clear in the versions that are in Mark and Luke. Today we read the version from Matthew, and this is one of those stories where there are things that are a little bit different about it. And one thing that we kind of have to take into account is who was there and at the time that this happened. You see, when you only hear the gospel readings on Sunday, you miss kind of the whole picture. That's why we have gospel readings throughout the week, and actually it's quite easy. I think I've mentioned this before. You can actually even receive on your email or on your phone, assuming you get your email, the readings from the Greek Archdiocese, so you can read along. And so where this comes in this story of the scriptures is this is when Peter, James, and John were with Christ at Transfiguration. They came down from the mountain. So he came down, and in a sense, Christ had, you know, his closest disciples, his three, with him. And then the other disciples were trying to cast out this demon from this boy who had epileptic fits, had a demon that was causing them. And as the Father says, that it sometimes tries to throw him into the fire or into the water to kill him. And so he comes down, and the disciples had tried to cast it out. Now, it's important also in terms of where this comes in Matthew that you know that this is after Christ had already sent them out. He'd already sent out the disciples to cast out demons and to heal disease and to do these things. So he'd already given them the charism. He'd given them the blessing, the grace to do these things. And yet here they are, unable to cast out this demon from this boy. And like I mentioned, this shows up in the other Gospels as well. And so we see not just the fact that the disciples couldn't cast them out, but we also see a little bit of doubt from the Father when in Luke, where the Father says, "If thou canst do it, please, you know, help my son, cure my son." So we see just that little bit of wavering that we don't see in so many of the stories. We don't see in the story of the centurion who says, "Just say the word and my daughter will be healed." Or in the woman with the issue of blood who doesn't even make a profession of faith, just knows that if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be saved. So we see a little bit of lack of faith in this story in Luke, in the Father, and then we see Christ responding to what happened. And what does he say? He says, wrong one, there we go. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." Well, here's the interesting thing about that. St. Nikolai of Zicha points out that we have that doubt of the Father, and that we have the lack of faith that of the apostles, in a sense, because he later says that this one, you know, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to go throw itself into the sea, and it would do so. But he also mentions that you have the scribes and the Pharisees standing around, and so they're part of that faithless generation. And here we have Christ offering a rebuke, but it's not to one single person. He's not singling out, you know, whatever, Andrew, and saying, you know, "You're the one praying over him. How come you couldn't do it?" Obviously, I just pulled that off the wall. I'm not sure exactly which one of them. I imagine they were all praying over him. But he didn't pick out one of the apostles. Neither was he speaking, you know, to the Father, nor was he even speaking to any of the individual scribes and Pharisees. Instead, he was speaking to the whole faithless generation. Here we have God come down from heaven to live among us. And I heard, well, St. Nikolai again once described it like if someone was sent to a land where people were killing each other and people were doing horrible things, and in a sense, reveling in their sins. And he comes and he tries to help them, and they don't want that help. Well, it's like that, except that it's even, the distance is even greater than this person who's coming to try to help people who don't want help. This is our God coming to us, trying to save us. And what does he come and see? He comes and sees a lack of faith. He comes and sees people who are trying to hold on to their power in terms of the scribes and Pharisees, people who are concerned about prestige, all kinds of other things except for actually looking at Christ. And so he says that the faith is necessary for what this is. If you just had faith like a mustard seed, which the mustard seed is a very small seed, but if you put a little bit of mustard seed in something, you're going to notice it. You know how strong the taste of mustard is. And so if they just had this faith, that they would have been able to do this. And then he offers what seems to be a contradictory statement, because the disciples get him alone, and they say, why could we not cast him out? And he says to them, this kind never comes out except by prayer and fasting. And so you could read this and say, okay, well, wait a second. He's saying this by faith, and then he's saying this by prayer and fasting. So really, which is it? And it's one of those great mysteries of orthodoxy where there's not some simple answer. Wouldn't it be great if there was just one little thing we could do? Oh, if we just do this, then we're saved. And there are many who believe that in this day and age in some modern Western Christianity. If you do just one thing, you'll be saved. But that is not our faith. Our faith is such a deeper, such a more vibrant faith, because we know that in life, nothing is ever that easy. If it was just as easy as you get married, you go and you have your wedding ceremony, and then all of a sudden you have this beautiful romance for the whole rest of your life, and there's never any problems, well, we wouldn't have 50% of the population getting divorced. Same thing with kids. If you just had to give birth to the kids and they're model citizens, then the world would be a very different place than that we live in. But that's not the story of our faith. The story of our faith is one of not just conversion, but of constant conversion and of repentance and of turning towards Christ. And we see that in the story of the saint that we celebrate today, such a beautiful, beautiful story of Saint Moses the Ethiopian, whom we have on the wall over here. Feel free at the end of the service to go venerate Saint Moses. It would be a great Hollywood movie. His life would be such a great movie. He was an escaped slave who became the leader of a band of robbers. And then Christ broke through everything that he'd gone through and everything that he had done and brought him to repentance. And so he left that band of robbers and he went to a monastery for his salvation. And obviously, the more we work our way from God, in a sense, the harder it is to get back. So he had done these horrible things, and these things that we do in our sin that draw us away from God, the more we do that, the further and further we get away from God, and in a sense, the more of a struggle it is for us to get back, that we can only do through God's grace. And so he was assaulted by the demons of lust and of greed and of anger and of hatred. And so how did he get back? It wasn't just through faith and the idea of faith being, I believe that Christ is the Lord. Because as we're told in the scriptures, the demons believe that and shudder. Just having the thought in your mind that Christ is the Lord is not, that's not faith, that's a belief. But instead, faith is putting that into action. I can believe someone's a surgeon, but if I'm not willing to lay down on his table and have him cut into me, I don't really have faith that he's a surgeon. I just know that he's gone through school and is a surgeon. And so how did his faith play out? His faith played out by him going to the monastery and working out his salvation with fear and trembling. And it says in the Synaxarion, in the story of his life today, it says, with the help of his spiritual father Isidore, and with great struggling, fasting, and all-night vigils, Moses was finally healed from the lustful thoughts, imaginings, and dreams visited on him by the demon. And it also says in his little hymn that we sing about him, whenever we sing a hymn specifically for something, it's called the Apologetikon, so the primary hymn. So the Apologetikon of St. Moses says that by fasting, vigil, and prayer, you didst obtain heavenly gifts, and you heal the sick and the souls of them that have recourse to you in faith. In other words, here we see it again, that it's by fasting and prayers and vigil, but it's also by faith, how those two things work together. We can say we have faith in God and then do absolutely nothing and then go, okay, well, why am I still mired in sin? Why am I still living this life of sin? Because we're not listening to the words of Christ, that this one only comes out by prayer and by fasting. St. Nikolai of Zita tells us that fasting takes care of those bodily passions of lust and of hunger, even of anger, of the bodily passions like that. And the prayer help us in victory over the rest of them, of greed and of all of the other passions. And so it is Christ who saves us. It is by our faith in Christ that is saved, that we are saved. But unless you really just want to squeak into heaven, unless you're really into the idea of saying, okay, I'm going to do the absolute minimum that there is just so I can get that golden ticket into heaven, you're missing out. Because our faith, our life in Christ is not something that happens when we die. It happens here and now. And it's our engagement in our faith through prayer, through fasting, through vigils, through services, through having a relationship with your father confessor and confessing your sins and repenting, having them help you through your repentance. It's through that we truly live that full life in Christ that He desires for us, that we were created to live, and which gives Him and His Father and the all Holy Spirit the glory. Amen.